So we turn our hearts to God in confession, trusting in God's words of forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ and your reign of justice. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. We take a few moments for silent reflection and confession. We pray, most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful, and sure. For you have made the city a heap of a fortified city ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm, and a shade from the heat. When the blast of ruthlessness was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain of the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear, and he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away from the tears of all faces and the disgrace of his people. He will take away all from the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. I have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. It says, my brothers and sisters whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia, and I urge Syntyche, to to be of the same mind in the Lord. And yes, I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And the God of peace will be with you. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Once more Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything's ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, and while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding's ready, but those invited are not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went into the streets and gathered all of whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how'd you get in here without a wedding robe?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Based. All right, who thinks they're worthy of an instrument? Good answer. I was actually looking for that answer. Good job. So far, so good. Well, guess what? You get an instrument. Is this one all right? That one makes noise. This one makes a little bit of noise. That one looks like it makes noise. Here's an instrument. You get an instrument. You get an instrument. That one makes noise. You get an instrument. You get a little instrument. It makes some noise. Here's an instrument. Makes some noise. Here, you guys can have that, and everyone else could have an instrument, too, if they were up here. We're going to have a party. Sound good? All right, we're going to make lots of noise for the next, oh, I don't know. Well, I'll say 30 seconds, but it's going to be about a minute, because I know we won't cut off right at time. Let's party, and let's sing Jesus Loves Me. Do you know Jesus Loves Me? Okay, you ready? Make some noise. Think we can get them to sing with us? You guys know Jesus Loves Me, right? All right, let's all sing this together and make some noise. Ready, set, go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. There we go. Now, is that a party or what? Yeah? Yeah. Well, you noticed a little bit. It's like the gospel today was saying. You can put your instruments back. But it's like the gospel said, if you were listening to that. First, there was a bunch of people that weren't quite worthy of the party. And you guys didn't think you were worthy of the party. But then, the king decided to invite everybody to the party. And everybody could have instruments. Everybody could party. Everybody could come together. And that's where you guys come in. And they were invited to the party, too. They just didn't get the instruments. But they're all invited. And that's true for all of us with God, too. We're all invited to that amazing party in the promise of the kingdom of God. So, let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming for all of us to invite us to that amazing party with you in the kingdom of God. In your name we pray. Dear Amen. Friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Not going to lie to you, I was on internship about 3 years ago, and I was unfortunate enough to have this same text. Oh boy, guess what I did the last time it came up, though? Well, I ran away from it about as fast as I could. I hid in the next corner called the second lesson that talked about prayer. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good text. And sometimes we need to be reminded of prayer as well from the Philippians text, which says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. When you have experienced, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ. What good advice. What good words to hear, especially in the world today that seems to need lots of prayer. And yet, we definitely need those too when we hear at the end of the gospel for today, Jesus talking about weeping and gnashing of teeth. Man, those parts of the gospels are, I wouldn't even say usually never my favorite. Because it makes me uncomfortable, puts me in a corner that I don't like to be in, confuses me, challenges my own faith at times. But not this time. This time, instead of avoiding it and talking about prayer the whole time, we're going to go right into it headlong, even though it can be uncomfortable and confusing to us. And I'm sure it is for you too at times. We're going to charge into it and embrace that uncomfortableness for a little while. First, the king of this parable. Why is he hard for us? Because the king does the unthinkable. First, he invites people into his home. Out of the goodness of his heart, he invites so many people. It's an invitation. It wasn't a command. It was an invitation. And yet these people turned away from the invitation. And he does the unthinkable to them just because they didn't come to the party. He kills those who rejected this offer, who killed his servants. He killed all those people who didn't attend the banquet. Not only does he do that, he burns down the cities too. He leaves no stone unturned. Well, one word for that would be, oh crap. That's not something I like to think about. A king, a god inviting me to a party, pulling a large group of people together, and then deciding, well, you're not coming, I'm going to kill you. Great. Being vengeful. For some, not because he killed those that he sent, but because they didn't want to attend the party. We don't know. We don't hear the middle story about the rest of the people in those towns. Remember, not everybody gets to speak for the whole family. What about those that thought it'd be fun to go to the party, but now are no longer able to? Vengeance. A vengeful God can be hard for us to grapple with. Why would God do that? Why would God allow this to happen? Does that question sound like something we've heard before? I'm sure we've heard that kind of question before. Why would God do this? Well, I don't think I'm going to give the answer. And I know you're not going to like it either, whatever I say here, but I don't know. But if you read throughout the Old Testament, we're confronted that this isn't the only time we're challenged with this notion of a vengeful God, is it? This isn't the first time God has been threatening or has done something. Think of the other stories that we have in the Bible, like Noah's Ark, killing all but really a handful of people. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about the firstborns of Egypt. What did they do? All those that were in the way of the promised land, like Jericho and other places that were just in the way of the promise in other times. So we really can't pretend that God has not been vengeful in the past. He's done it before, and honestly, that scares the crap out of me. It really does. And if you're honest, does that scare you? Anybody else scared? Oh boy. Which brings me to the question that we have asked at some point in our lives then, knowing that God can be vengeful. Am I okay? Am I good? Am I good? Am I going to make it? Am I in the line of sight of this vengeful God? Am I in? Am I out? There's no way that I could be one in the parable, the one that the king kills, could there? Well, all you have to do is ask some of the ninth graders that I've had for the last couple of weeks and our talk about the Ten Commandments, and they'll have the answer for you. We make a lot of mistakes. We sin an awful lot. We're in big trouble. We too sometimes make light of things in our lives, don't we? Choose to turn from God. Choose to do the best that we can and hope for the rest. Break all those commandments, you name it. So along those lines, we're very much in the crosshairs of this vengeful God. We deserve nothing other than death. And honestly, that scares me. It can keep me up at night sometimes, actually. I find myself worrying, am I okay? Am I really okay? But you know what? If that was the end of the story, if we ended with the king just saying, go out and kill all those people, we wouldn't be okay. That would be where it ended. So if that's where it's ended, who's feeling really good right about now? Anybody feeling great now? Feeling good about yourself, not worried at all, nothing, no sleepless nights. But that's not where Jesus ends that parable. That's not where he ends the talk about the kingdom of God. He continues to say that the king invited everybody in, not only a select group of people, but everybody. Not only the good ones that followed all the rules and did the best that they could, but also the bad ones. Those that probably broke the rules often, made mistakes, were imperfect, wouldn't have been seen by the king in the first place, and would never have been seen in that select group. Now, how can this be that a good and bad are welcomed into this kingdom, this feast, this banquet? How can it be true for us in regards to the kingdom of God? Why, you know that answer. This is like the easiest answer you can give. It's the Sunday school answer of how we would eventually be invited to a party that at one point we were clearly not even remotely close worthy for. And that's Jesus. Jesus is the one who died for each and every one of us. And not only that, he did the unthinkable. He did the impossible. He was risen. He was risen from the dead. He came back. He came back for all of us, so we all could attend that party and all be seen in that wedding robes before the king, both good and bad. All are now chosen, and through his death and resurrection, we are now saints, worthy of that robe and the banquet. No longer are we seen as the one who turns away from God, but the one who is turned towards, puts those perfect robes on. And in another way, Jesus took off his own robe for us and is seen as the one without the robe for us. Okay, so again, knowing now that we're all invited, why do we still ask that simple question of why am I okay? Why do we still worry about a vengeful God? You've heard this phrase before, and if it's your first time, hear it again. Martin Luther says we're simultaneously a saint and a sinner. This is a both and. We are at all times both saint and sinner. We both deserve God's vengeance, and yet we receive God's grace. Both of those that rejected the king's invitation and accepted the king's invitation, even without asking for it. And in this parable today, it illustrates that tension in our lives. It's not always crystal clear to us, even when it is. That tension sometimes in our own faith. The tension of a vengeful God and a saving God. Wondering if we're okay. Knowing that when we have been saved, no questions asked. Wondering if there's anything we can do to be okay. Knowing Christ alone through his death and resurrection made us better than okay in the eyes of God. Which circles us back to that Philippians text for today, which says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ. Knowing that we live in that tension of saint and sinner, sometimes we need to just pray. Pray to calm not only the worries about, am I okay, but to know the fact that Christ is risen and has saved us all. And that exceeds anything we can ever understand. And yet it is, as Luther says, that is most certainly true. It's an open invitation for all of us and a promise for all of us here and everywhere. Thanks be to God for opening the kingdom for us, even when we are both saint and sinner. Amen.
With the whole church, with the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Each petition ends with, hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Let us pray. Come near us, Lord God. Let your church rejoice at your banquet, where all are invited and welcomed, washed and fed, forgiven and chosen. Hear us, O God. Father, we come to you seeking healing. Our country is struggling with so many wounds, from natural disasters, from man-made acts of terror, and from political division. There's so much going on, so much that's hard to understand. We are seeking your grace, your peace, your love, your protection. Hold us in your hands. Hear us, O God. Be with and bless those that are actively serving our city, county, state, and country. Give our police, firemen, soldiers, sailors, and airmen strength and courage, safety and comfort. Provide for them and bless their families, often waiting in fear. Heal broken alliances between nations. Hear us, O God. Empower us to teach, serve, and learn with passion and integrity, and to study diligently and attentively for the fulfillment of our many callings, and to glorify your purpose and name. Hear us, O God. Mold us, O Christ, and make us into a community of respect, dignity, and value, where the needs and gifts of one another are honored, and where the spirit of life together is uplifted. Hear us, O God. You care for us more than the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. You are aware of our every need. Let us be good seed planted in good soil by our heavenly sower. You know our prayers of supplication before we speak them. You know our requests to you before we think them. Hear us, O God. We pray for the physical, emotional, social, spiritual, and financial needs for our church, our members, and all of our visitors today. Let us remember and read the first names of the members who are listed in our bulletin. Rolf, family of Mardell. Jim, family of Natasha, Michaela, Ione, Leona, Mavis Ann, Anne, Luann, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Mayanas, missionaries Colin, Jenny, Joseph, and Amos. Hear us, O God. Our hearts are filled with gratitude. Whether we are new Christians or old ones, life does not seem fair to us at times. However, if we honestly reflect, we are so deeply thankful for our families, spouses, children and grandchildren, our dear friends, our health, our homes, our jobs, the privilege to live in this beautiful world, and the hope of eternal life with you in heaven. Hear us, O God. Trusting in your mercy and goodness, we bring before you these prayers and whatever else you see that we need in the name of the one who sets us free, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Gathered into Amen. One by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The blessing of Almighty God, the Father of glory, and Jesus Christ our peace, and the Spirit of truth be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.